Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, Like the Quiet Anyway. I mean, that was Best This Way. The title of that song is Best This Way, and it's a little song by one of our featured guests here tonight, Pepper McGowan. She is from Cleveland, Ohio. She's a very talented musician and poet, and we'll have her on here shortly. But, you know, in the meantime here, I'm going to bring on my co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gasinski and Brian Big Daddy Sturdivant. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Right.
How's it going?
Hey, guys. Wow. You know, what do you think of there of Pepper's song there? I mean, it reminds me of Tori Amos. I mean, that's like, wow.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Sounds like
beautiful.
She's a little emotionally scarred.
Emotionally scarred. Well, you know, here we go. That we will get the opportunity to talk to her about that. You know, our other guest tonight will be, his name is Brother Tim, and he is the author of a book called Darkness into Light. And he, you know, he's also the founder of God's Soldiers, a motorcycle ministry. And not only that, you know, this guy, he, you know, he used to be the bodyguard for 50 Cent, DMX, Jennifer Lopez, and many other celebrities, and Pamela Anderson, so that'll be fun too. Man, we've got a great lineup here and show, but in the meantime, let's just kind of go over what the, you know, what the heck's going on here in our lives here. Brian, I know for a fact you got something cool going on here, man. What's going on?
Well, tonight we're going to celebrate Highway's birthday.
Oh, Highway, yeah. All right.
And then,
Highway, yeah. Well,
and then
yeah, tell
he's
a
got
a bit more about that. About Highway, you know, and his birthday. I mean, yeah.
We're gonna go out to the casino and they're gonna get shit faced, and I'm gonna lose a bunch of money gambling. You know, good times.
Right, right, right. Good times. And Highway, you know, let's talk about Highway and that album just really quick. Give everyone, you know, who's listening or might be listening or who might listen an update, you know, regarding that.
Well, he's got his new album, Roadside Assistance, that came out in November.
Great.
We're getting ready to drop the new music video for Gibberish. We're going to do a contest. He did the whole song in Pig Latin, Gibberish.
See, that's
so
great. Gibberish, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to do a contest. Whoever can correctly decipher the lyrics back into English, we're going to be giving away some cash prizes and some merchandise and stuff.
Oh, see, that's excellent. And how can people tune into that? I mean, how can people, you know?
The contest is going to start March 5th. And,
March 5th, yeah.
Website called fagolovers.net is going to host it for us.
Oh,
they're
sweet.
They're a big underground site that they promote a lot of the underground music like ICP and Tech N9 and. So, yeah, I contacted them, and they're going to host that for us.
Awesome, awesome. And weren't you recently, like, I don't know, I thought I saw something about you being in a film or something recently.
Yeah, I did a little guest spot in this film that's coming out. It's called A Sea of Green.
Uh-huh, A Sea of Green, huh?
It's a pretty cool story. It's about this guy that, I think he lives in Boston or something, and he works for a big corporation, and he gets busted for smoking weed out in Boston, and his wife pretty much kicks him to the curb, and so he comes out to California and looks for one of the big weed growers out here.
Uh-huh.
And,
about weed growers, right, all right, well, we should all mention, or I should mention, you are, according to people here, You are the mayor of Humboldt County, and Humboldt County is, you know, the weed universe, the weed universe of California, Humboldt County. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So that's cool, man. That's awesome. And and you know, what was this experience like being, you know, with this cameo appearance in this film and everything? I mean, what was that like?
It was actually pretty cool. I basically played myself. I had a show book.
Okay.
I had a show with Mike Marshall and V-Man and Equipto, and basically the guys came to the venue and they acted like they were looking for this weed grower. And I played the promoter, and I just yelled at the guy a couple of lines. I was like, dude, weren't you the guy hitting on my waitress? I told you to get the fuck out of the bar. And while we're in the green room, and
the green room.
Remember that song that back in the day, I Got Five on It by the Loonies? So Mike Marshall is the guy that sings the chorus, I Got Five on It. And he was one of the acts on my show that night. And the main character is like, well, shit, before I have to leave, can I hit that joint? And Mike Marshall's all, you got five on it? Well, little comedy for his, you know.
Right.
But it'll be coming out soon on DVD, and I think they're trying to get it on, like, Netflix and stuff as an independent film.
Oh, there we go. Netflix, yeah. And, you know, all this instant media, you know, like, I mean, that's a big thing. And, hey, Mr. Michael DeGasinski, man, oh, man.
You.
Yo, I know you've been going through a lot of stuff here lately. What's life with you, man?
Yeah, man, you know, life's been busy, you know. I just recently had an endoscopy. You know,
endoscopy. Oh boy. Orally or anally?
It was oral. It was oral.
Oral.
I had Linda Lovelace treatment.
Okay. Yeah. Please explain that.
But,
I mean,
please
give us
shit,
details,
you know,
here.
It's kind of freaky because you don't remember shit. You know, it's just.
Oh really? Funny. Okay. Well. Oh. You don't remember? The Twilight like drugs.
Yes.
They give
yes.
you. Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. But
the woman told me, she said, all right, close your eyes and just kind of go with it. Next thing I know, I'm sitting there staring at my girlfriend. I'm like, all right, what happened? What the hell? You know, it was kind of fucked up, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you know, it's been an hour since the procedure. I went, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I mean, oh, geez. See, that's scary to me.
And then,
so.
Well, then, you know, there wasn't any good footage of like, you know, I didn't say anything crazy, I guess, because she didn't record me. So I must not have done anything fun. Like, I always see these people on, you know, they get recorded and put on YouTube and shit. The videos go viral and they're saying all this crazy shit. You know, no, I didn't do any of that. I was boring, I guess.
So. So, I mean, okay, you don't have much recollection of the whole procedure? I mean, just...
No, nothing.
Yeah, okay, so...
I know that when I came to, my pants were still on, so that was...
Well, that's disappointing. That's... What was that?
I was going to say, you need to step it up next time. You know,
yeah,
live on the edge next time.
Something. Take some recreational drugs beforehand or something.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, all right. Well, it was oral, so not the anal.
Yeah.
Would you prefer the anal next time? I mean, I just out of curiosity.
You know, it's. I don't know, man. That's a weird deal right there because they thought the whole point of this, they thought it, you know, that I had an ulcer or something. So when I was in to see the doctor like a month ago, he had to check for blood and with his finger, and that's not cool, man. That's not that's not a fun experience. And he's making jokes about, you know, oh, I could eat a ham sandwich while checking, you know, back here. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Shit, you know, I don't know. It's I'll stick with the oral. Oral is better.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? We are going to bring on our first featured guest here, Pepper McGowan. You know, I mean, wow. She's a very talented singer, songwriter, you know, and much more. And I'm sure she's going to have a lot of fun stuff to talk to us about and to share with us. So here we go. We're going to bring her on right now.
God, I sound like my mother. Oh, my God.
Hello, Pepper.
I prefer to say preemptively ejaculated in the, by a leaping forward and springing forward because I'm a back ass Yankee like an hour ago. So first it came too early. Then I hear you guys talk. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Polish guy. Somebody that, and then I hear Tori Amos and I just in the same as I exist. And that I'm like her. It's sort of like the religion thing. People either come over with Jesus. My mom's Polish. She's got it everywhere. Like, yeah, I just don't like some of his followers. They scare the shit out of me. I got a lot of slack and stories, like hardcore mixers. I'm like, oh, no, these people are going to hate me because I'm sitting here making a square word in an elevator. How beholden to you are the whole FCC standards defined.
Is she talking to us?
I don't know. Pepper, are you there? Pepper?
Yeah,
okay, we can't.
Talking about this song that I record when I'm 19. I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, my God, that's me. I'm old. Of course I sound emotionally scarred.
It's hard for us to hear you. We couldn't tell if you were talking to us or what.
What? I don't know. It was free spirit look kind of because I'm 9:40 coming. So I was listening to the free spirit of what it feels to be listening to the girl with that.
I don't think she's talking to us, guys.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall I be more
sooner? Yeah, no, she's
not talking. Is it the phone? Or just rapid speech, but... Is that it?
Hello? Are you talking on a regular, like, phone, or are you talking, like, on a...
I'm on a landline. Well, a landline, cordless because I was on phone with my regular cell with you guys on hold listening to myself sing at 19 and freaking out.
We can barely hear a word you're saying, hon. So sorry. Is okay. Are you on another line? I see another 216 area code.
Yes, is that my phone? I might be still on here. Yeah, I'm still. We're both. Yeah, I'm on. Switch.
Hello.
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 Oh wow! See, much better.
Much better. Oh yeah. Cheers.
Okay, is this the Pepper McGowan? Am I even pronouncing your name right? It is. Okay.
Like
we could not hear a word you were saying there just previously.
Wait. Okay, hold on. Let's all take a Xanax and just take Xanax. All right, now, you were saying.
Welcome to the show, Pepper McGowan. And first of all, am I pronouncing your name right, Pepper? Your last name, McGowan?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Yeah.
And I have a whole crabby little bitch thing on my musician's Facebook thing about just if you're going to spread rumors or even if they're true, spell it or say it right. And you did it right. Thank you. Nobody
wow.
does it right.
Hot damn.
I'm crying. I'm trying to bend over and... I'm trying to bend over so I can catch up with the rest of the show where you were talking about ATM stuff and the
ATM
podcast
stuff.
I've been on.
Oh. do you equate ATM with anal? I mean,
that's what I had. ATM from
that's,
an Indian
that's
doctor.
That picture you going up to a you know, like a doctor that's also kind of a pimped out promoter who, I guess, you know, has to lick a taint that gives him money. Basically politics or science. Anyways, what's my username here, George? Oh, I have to make one up? Okay. I'm signing into your official site here.
All right, Pepper. Hey, Pepper. Gosh darn it. All right. You know, we are both from Ohio. We're both Ohioans here.
You are?
And I love supporting other, you know, Ohio artists, be them musicians or poets or whatever. And, you know, you are a unique combination of both poet and musician and everything. And we featured your, you know, one of your songs here that you have in the works. And, man, it's there. It's out there.
Not the one I heard on Muzak, but the one on SoundCloud.
Yeah, the Muzak, yeah.
So like
okay. Yeah. It was. I totally felt like I was like in an elevator. Yeah, like, yeah. This is just Muzak. No, I mean it sounded like Tori Amos. Amos. I mean, anyhow, wow. How did you even get started? I mean, as far as like you know being.
I've got
you
to
know,
try to find that as a complimentary point of reference, as far as.
Tori Amos is, you know. She has a good stuff, but what I'm asking,
she
though,
kind of
is...
She has become a parody of herself, and it sucks because some of her stuff was really good. I didn't even know that this was what this was about because I tend to just mate all my... Oh, here's somebody shows you a new technology feature, little analog girl. All emails you ever owned will come here. And so I almost missed yours and replied like a year later from, I guess, was the SoundCloud thing. How I really, really started being in public with any of it was by accident. I left home when I was 15, and I was subleasing a submissive apartment in Little Italy. I didn't have any piano thing. And there's a, God rest his soul, Martin, there's a place called the Barking Spider over by University Circle. And they were the only place that had a actual piano. And mind you, this is a long time ago, like 90. So I went over at the end of whatever band they had playing, my friend Janice was in, and asked her, can I, you know, I have a song in my head that I need to work out some thoughts to. No one's here. You guys are closing down. And then I ended up turning the mic on, and I didn't notice, and I got a gig. And so when I started doing shows then, I was like 15, 14.
Uh-huh.
I would have some kind of experience in my life that day and run it up if I had a gig. You know, thank God there was no YouTube or anything. And
Because
there's some stuff that I would really be embarrassed about, but there's some stuff that would be pretty damn punk rock for kids.
I gotta ask you, Pepper, and you know, I mean, what was some of your initial like influences, like creatively, like as far as what was it, writing, you know, poetry, prose, music,
poetry
or what?
Is-
I'm sorry,
like in one of my old, like if I'm talking a mile a minute because I had to sit there listening to the memories of 19-year-old me writing that other song in New York, and I don't regret it. It doesn't suck, but it was just like, oh, man, my soul looked fat in that outfit. I wrote. I always loved to write.
Uh-huh.
I have a learning disability called dysgraphia when it comes to actual hand-eye writing. So first my parents bought me a tape recorder, and then I learned to use my dad's secretary's electric typewriter. So I wrote, and I carried this god-awful 126 camera around taking pictures of stuff that was is now kind of, you know, relevant in a back-ass, weirdly ironic way, because you don't look at when Sansevieria pants are everywhere, because you guys are younger than me, but, you know, you don't really think about it. But then you notice it if you're looking through family pictures, like, God, didn't my dad have those same pants in, like, you know, nervous Gerald Ford blue? Fuck. So those little things. It's a time capsule. Music was my total time capsule.
I mean, when you mention tape recorder and, you know, typewriter, you know, I used
That's
to do
what
the
I am.
Same.
That's
I had the same stuff. So we're pretty much the same age there. I mean, were there any, like, actual, like, writers or anything that over the years have influenced you, or writers or musicians that have influenced you and your sound? And, I mean, obviously there has to be somebody, someone. I mean.
There are, at the roots, I think, you know, when you're that age, too, when you're in the cast of puberty, becoming who you are, music is such an effectively, like, you can it's a litmus test or an
right,
MPI litmus, for where you're going to see the world. You archive these shows? Do you guys?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you archive your shows?
Yes.
Okay. I'll say it out loud. I was in seventh grade, and I wrote my first song, actually in Chicago when I was nine. I was in this class, and I'm one of those people who always tests really well and gets scrapes by, but never shows up for homework or anything. But I was always paying attention with one ear and just doing whatever the hell I was doing. And this teacher who was not supposed to, you're just supposed to be a sub, but he taught us for the old year, thank God. Mr. Ed Beck, I would love to find him and just say thank you. But that's a lot more poignant in abstract ways, because he'd be like, oh, my God, who is this? And look at his wife and say, I knew it. I didn't do it. I was writing some stuff when we were supposed to be doing Ohio history. If you're from
mm-hmm.
Ohio history, you know that.
Ohio
that's
history.
Like, also,
I took that. I remember that seventh grade.
It required the same. Yeah.
It was required,
yeah.
Yes.
That's when they do it. Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. My Uncle John Glenn was my, like, surprise happy ending, because we all had to finish that. But anyway, we were talking about something that did not have to do with anything in Ohio that was interesting. I'm sure I can't remember. All I know is the teacher, Mr. Beck, said, you know, he said, talk to me or something. Can I talk to you for a second after class? And he says, you read true poetry? And it wasn't in a creepy way at all. I mean, we were, you know, 26 is so young to be, and I'm now that I'm not on the other end of it. And he said, you know, I just, you get good grades, but you're always thinking something else. And I figured, so he said, you're a songwriter, aren't you? And I was embarrassed that I'd been called out, because I'm really not. I'm a well-spun storyteller with sort of
right.
Fun.
You know,
he says, I have something for you.
Oh.
Tomorrow I'll bring it in. He bought me Pet Sounds, and he got me Blood on the Tracks and a bunch of other Dylan. And I really, like, it was one of those, if you're going to diagram it like a book, it was really one of those life-changing moments, because the summer before, I had listened all through summer camp. I was sick with this bloody nose to the whatever they were using that year, so I never really got to do any of the fun athletic reindeer Pennsylvania games. But I listened to Suzanne Vega.
Yeah.
And I'm so not a, like, chick frog. I didn't even realize I was a female musician. I just thought of myself like a person who hides in sad piano and you know. And I really would like to see how much it would creep someone out if their genitals became, their genitalia became like a focal point. But, well, as a male commuter who is also a male water drinker, how do you feel this? Like, I didn't realize anything except that there was a soundtrack that had Left of Center on it. I told my sister, half-sister, she sent me Solitude Standing, and I was just like, wow, this is what I do, only grown up. And I was it's really the only female root influence I had. I already had one record out when the Little Earthquakes came out, and I did not know that she even played the same instrument to me, but I worked at a radio station where I'm a licensed astrologer, so I would do readings for whoever was in the studio, you know, for promoting, and she was there, and she was so nice. She was so tiny, and like she was actually even half an inch shorter than me. And she wasn't famous yet. She was right before she put out her Under the Pink, is it? And so many times since then, people have asked me, "You didn't tell her? Did you do?" And I always think of like, you know. I go to bars all the time. I used to frequent the liquor establishments more often when I worked at other ones. And I didn't tell people, you know, I'm a bartender too. I know what it's like totally to do this because I'm a notorious. So I don't know what anything's like. I just thought she was really nice and unpretentious at the time. And she was just, still had the sparkle of, like, this is fun. And that was really cool because... You know, fun. Fun's subjective.
Pepper, come on, Pepper. Pepper here. I gotta ask you.
Come on, Brian or Michael. I can't see beards on the radio.
I am. This is Brian W. Dot Fugier. I gotta ask you. You know, I mean, okay. How did you get your? You know, I mean. You know, combining, you know, poetry and music and all that, and that seems to be, you know, your thing, and you're good at it, very damn
what?
Good at it, and how, you know,
virtual organizer sent to Chicago. Okay, yes, I just filleted you gracefully, like in a cyber way. See, I told you I'm analog. I don't know how this stuff works. We're all probably being bombarded by people's. Working sexy selfies. We don't even know because it's wireless. Think about that.
Wait a second. What? Selfies?
And
okay, all right. Well, you know, I'm trying to stay on course here.
I know.
Here.
I go off because
that's okay. If you know, you want to take selfies while we're...
No, I'm thinking of other people's selfies going all over us with their genitals and we don't even know it because we are, you know, in a wireless world.
Yes, we are in a wireless world.
We are living in a wireless world, and I am a power strip.
Sounds like
girl.
A song right there.
Take that, Madonna, you suddenly British woman. So you were saying on topic, when did I what?
Well, all of a sudden you mentioned selfies, you know. I mean, what do you think about the duck lips? I mean, when it comes to selfies.
I don't
selfies.
Understand that. I actually, that all happened in 1 week. And, I mean, I went to Cleveland Public Schools. We didn't, there was no, you know, you already had a baby and you're going to have another baby if you did that thing that they now just call twerking when, you know, crackers suburban kids do it. So I didn't really... And I've taken ridiculously silly pictures of my brother taking pictures of himself for girls on Facebook and posted them to him all before. But it's like, hasn't anyone ever just figured out how to just, like, make their arms really long, try not to jiggle, and hit it quick? But I learned all that stuff, those terms, and it just creeps me out. I feel like selfie, twerk. I mean, Google didn't.
Right. Hey, well, you know, twerking is now in the dictionary. But anyhow, hey, I want to talk more about your music, your poetry, and your work.
Okay.
I know all about Miley Cyrus and her twerking and her getting in the dictionary. I mean, talk about having a total crush. Oh, wow, yeah, Miley Cyrus. She. She got it going on. But anyhow,
I tried to put a weird little clip on him. I think it was in Vancouver on President's Day where she had Mount Rushmore and the Statue of Liberty letting her dry hump him. I was like, God, between Matthew Good and Jane Sibbery and people like Miley that we can't deport because she's from here, screw it, I'm moving to Winnipeg.
You're moving to Winnipeg? Mm-hmm. Winnipeg, Canada?
I would like to move to Canada if I look at what we have to offer and then what I've gotten back from Canadian newspapers. It's like, damn, I highly recommend anything the Matthew Good or Matthew Good Band has done. He and Elliot Smith's stuff sounds cheesy, but it really like did prevent my life from being less saved. Didn't save my life, but it kept it a little bit saved for a while.
Yeah.
My sanity, because it's just that's the rough part you want to get into. Yeah. There are a couple bad years, and not just Miley, my God.
Miley Cyrus
did go down,
or whatever, you know.
Joey, so Canada, this, Canada, that. I just feel
what
like,
about
hey,
Justin,
you know,
Bieber?
She went and went around with you.
Yeah, Bieber is from Canada.
He creeps
isn't
me out. I want his hair to get back on that, like, that same hat kid Pee Wee's Big Adventure wears that gets the bike. And I want his little bald hermaphrodite self to just swim across the border to Canada.
Do you think Justin Bieber, or Bieber, or what do you want to call him, with a shitty haircut, should be deported?
You know, and I can't even send him through Windsor because he's not 21 yet. All these old people would have to be inconvenient. Oh, look at that little girl with cancer. Oh, Justin. Oh, my God. Who did your wrestling? This is why I don't have any stage persona.
That's something I want to ask you about.
I want to ask you about
your poetry, your music, and everything.
Or being an astrologer, didn't you say licensed astrologer?
Yeah.
That's funny. It's a slippery slope when people ask me that when I'm not actually being paid to be doing that about it, and just that, because there's that part of my mind that's like, okay, binary stars. This is actually moving this degree of this in the astrology world. It doesn't. You know, where the people who usually guide exclusively by the astrology world don't know what binary is, whether if they're writing code or whatever. So I have this stupid preemie scientific center that's always like looking through a telescope, and then the other is it's archetypes, it's very, you know, it's very accurate though, and ways of people dealing with just sometimes if you give somebody three. Very generically, like, you know, they pick your sign. There usually are a lot of consistencies. It just sounds so god awful flaky about it. You know, there's no nice way to do that without sounding like Phoebe on Friends, you know, banging a hipster about you, which is why I flinch at poetry, because it's a place in. Little safe place in Cleveland called Tremont, where you're not supposed to tell people you have a real job / occupation, and guys with glasses and man purses say, I'm a writer, I'm a poet. And my legs are magically open, so I'm kind of like not in the game.
So you're in the Tremont area of Cleveland?
DNA-wise, by proxy, maybe if you... No, I live in Cleveland, near Lake.
Well, yeah, Cleveland. Okay, I've been to Cleveland several times, you know.
Hey, I have friends who live in Cleveland. I'm not Cleveland.
Uh-huh. I've been to Tremont, too.
I have friends who accidentally realized they were living in Tremont. They're from New York.
and you know, okay, well, what do you have against the Tremont area? Do you have anything against the Tremont area? I found it very nice.
It's gentrification. Again, I'll use the word taint, since that's the word of the week, that space between Tremont and Linkin Park was where my creepy cousin Dickie used to have to go to buy acid in the 70s. And he was probably scared
really?
Of him.
Wow.
And now it's like they're cutting up Cleveland and giving it. And Tremont was always called Tremont as an area, you know. That's fine. They're giving other parts these pretentious. We have Battery Park now. I lived in New York. Battery Park was a place that smelled interesting and not probably because I knew what it was built on. Battery Park in Cleveland used to just be that place by sort of the lake where, you know, we could do what park, the park view is near there. That was like it. So, you know, the rest of the world by the park view, now it's Battery Park. And it has a big antenna thing, so in case you need to know if you live here, you'll be sorry by now. I'm not a civic spokesperson, sorry. I love it, though. I always tease and call it the capital of all votes. Sorry, y'all
yeah,
looking
well,
at me like,
I,
oh,
I,
my
I,
God, they're going to take her back on the pretty pink Barry Kay short bus.
Oh, I'll take, you know, I'll take the short bus over the long bus any day. I was in, you know, Tremont. I was at a bar there and hosting a poetry reading, and I got my head shaved. I got my head shaved. I got it. I got a mohawk live on stage, and I dropped my pants
that.
And was wearing a diaper. Oh yeah, no, I'm.
You're wearing a diaper. Oh God.
Yes.
Oh, God.
All, this is for real. This really happened right there in truth, right
you.
There
I mean,
in your neighborhood.
That's not my
okay.
neighborhood, but it's very drink, and I probably have done the whole like, you know, I do this thing called retard strength, where it's not a diaper, but I put a tidy whities over a leotard and a bedpan on my head, and I do polka. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding.
Okay, well then tell us about that.
Okay,
I mean,
totally fucking with you. I did it once. My brother's girlfriend got so mad at me for being so politically correct. And I'm like, they're not as funny if they're not the white ones. I mean, if we can, like, just have one thing that controls our computers and our cars and everything else, you think somebody would have thought to stop making men's briefs white?
Uh-huh.
I mean, because any kind of bleach that's got anything that is, like... Mothra meets Chernobyl world. I don't need any of that crap.
Chernobyl?
I just
oh,
thought it would
boy.
Be really
Here we go.
Fun
yeah.
to go
hey,
play in
Mothra
a accordion.
Chernobyl.
Tremont.
Well, hey, what? hey, we're going to bring on Greg Beaton. Is that cool? We're going to bring
oh,
on Greg. Yeah, we're going to
oh
bring on Greg Beaton here.
My Greg. I had my hysterectomy this year on Greg's birthday because it's also David Bowie's birthday. And they gave me a chance between that and January 6th, and I'm like, I'm not going to screw up Orthodox Christmas with my twat.
So you wanted to fuck up David Bowie's birthday?
What?
Greg, Beaton, are you there,
yeah,
buddy?
I could have. That's true. I could have fixed it Barrett's birthday, but I just thought between all that, you know, give him and the Orthodox Christians a break and get my uterus yanked out and. Greg and Bowie and Elvis.
Was the uterus related to the twerking incident?
Oh my God. You know, I could have had some sort of, like, glib class action lawsuit with two other people that just actually could sort of twerk and be convinced that some female, like, what are they, some sort of Gardasil thing was making them twerk themselves in.
Well, I mean,
well,
the
hey,
dancing
oh
baby
God.
Was, you know, the first
right,
thing
you
go.
You got Greg. You got
so
Greg
let's,
there?
Let's bring wow. Greg. You there, buddy?
Oddly enough, this isn't Greg, but I'll pretend to be him.
Well, who are you?
I'm Kaylin. I was listening to the show online when she was talking about twerking before. And then all of a sudden,
God, you taught me that
your connection went down, so I had to call in and listen to it this way, and I don't know.
And you got pulled on. You got pulled on here, huh?
This is
so you're
man.
Craig. You're not Greg. You're Craig.
Kaylin.
Greg. Oh, God.
Oh,
Greg would just be like, things I want from
yeah.
Whole Food, Brian Eno stuff that I found that Pepper won't let me steal. Well, actually, he won't let me, like, probably ever unless I do it by hand with the oblique strategies. If I had an Amazon wish list, everybody, oblique strategies, you know, you can make me your own and send them, please. I don't have them anymore.
I got a question for Pepper. She does a
wheelchair.
Lot of reading. So she, she likes to read in wheelchairs. We'll play either or. Nook or Kindle?
I feel like I'm treacherous because I downloaded something on my Nook that it was a Kindle thing, and it's stupid. It's so stupid it said that I was a Sagittarius, and I was born in a totally different time, that flaky bitch Kindle. Yes?
Black and white or rainbows?
Black and white, even on shrooms.
Okay. It's okay that I just took over your show for a moment and started asking questions.
Oh, please, ask me questions. I never shut the hell up. And I never sleep. Unless somebody, you know.
Hey, Pepper, your website that I spent an hour on is done.
You do? I have a website again? Ha!
You have a website
that,
again.
I had a creepy admirer/stalkery person that aped my website that I had for like 13 years. I said, here, I'll write you a check. Can you cover it? I'm going to lapse. And then he sold it to some creepy Korean sex thing I can't get it back for like $2,500. So I figured, Inky Midnight's not a vanity label. I'm publishing other people's books and stuff and music if I like it. So, you know, let PepperMcGowan.com become your source for ramen and erotica. I really, if we have, I have one, my Inky Midnight, everything I've ever published was under that since like 95. So I have a website now.
And now people can go there and listen to your music and see some pictures, and it'll be added to over the week. So I guess the information I'm sharing as a caller is inkymidnight.com.
Cool. Street pass. Thank you.
And whenever you
want
to drop
me,
just don't hang. Just tell me to be quiet. Don't hang up on me because I can't hear anything because the internet's crazy.
I wouldn't know which one had happened to me because my whole life there's been this awkward look relatives when there's no phone in the room or light switch to like pretend the apocalypse came and I'll just keep talking.
The apocalypse, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
So, yeah, anyways.
All right, well,
hey. Tell me, the music? I feel like it's creepy. Well, I need to make copies, and I'm going to do this next week. I got stuff of both things on people have put money down on hold on CD Baby for my taxes to do albums, and I just haven't gotten the money at the same time to send them out. And so, I don't know. But Greg Beaton, we began to record this album that was follow-up to Mero, and it ended up being a really different thing than we just didn't have enough time, though, to finish it, and now I'm really, now that I know he actually liked what we were doing, because I didn't get enough feedback either way. I need to know that my basic don't ever do this, then absolutely do this in any kind of job, so I know that I can think outside the half box. I can't think out of a box unless I have a little guy. And Greg was wonderful to work with because he feels things. He's placing, picks up by ear, plays with feeling, but is also very, very like structured and technically skilled and. The title track, that album to be. I would still like to release the album sooner than later, but I don't like to think of the older version of myself hearing some of the stuff on and think, oh my God, how could I sing that in Slavic Village biker bars to make me go away?
Well, hey, how about we play... if you don't mind, Heredity is not a painless ghost.
Okay. I can tell you, I wrote that right off the top of my head on my ex-roommate's keyboard, and then it just kind of creeped me out because Yeah, I've had struggles with self-mutilation in the past, and Lou Reed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've listened to them. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably more than you want to know, but you know, you're saying that. Well, and here's somebody who's, yeah, actually, that's a little memoir into its own. But I just remember like listening to a lot of Velvet Underground, hiding out in the showers that they no longer used since the 70s because of population shifts, and then like I did that song off the top of my head, and the next day Lou Reed died, and there's a line in it about him being my only friend.
Well, hey, okay, chill. we're gonna play that little piece, okay, and then we'll come back and you know you're welcome to stay on here if you want and hang out with us as we bring on our next guest, Brother Tim, who actually, you know, he has a book coming out called Darkness into Light, and, you know, he used to be a bodyguard and everything for 50 Cent and many other celebrities and all that. And then, you know, he died on the operating table and all that after getting shot up, you know, by bullets. And, you know, then he found God and all that. So we're gonna talk about, you know, talk to Brother Tim and his experiences and all that. And you're welcome to stay on here and, you know, ask him some questions.
Did he have to give up hookers?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Did he have to give up hot hookers and, like, champagne that I can't pronounce? But if I had a bodyguard that could bodyguard somebody like 50 Cent, I could just point. I mean, damn.
I don't know.
I had surgery so much this year. So the only time my damn head shuts up is during a seizure or an aberration. I don't know where I want to go. I want to go to heaven, but I'm afraid that I will go first and people will be like, hey, there's Pepper looking up at us right now, thinking, boy, those guys don't look around.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to play. Heredity is not a painless ghost, okay? And then we'll be right back.
Hey there,
all right. Here we go.
Thanks. Woohoo!
Content. They're not the people that I'd never fuck. And fuck the ones I never loved. Give the keys back, give the keys back. Take the keys back, give the key back. Here's your fucking keys. And not to me.
Ghost. And what exactly inspired that, Pepper?
Where's my phone? Hello?
Okay. Hi, sorry, George and I have the same phone. I'm like, what the heck? Hi. Can you hear me?
Okay. Hello.
It was shortly before my birthday, and I've been, you know, I don't like the word bipolar because it's just, it makes me think of like those Coke commercial, you know, bears experimenting sexually. And I'm really sorry, Pixar, but I just like hate that kind of animation. Anyway, I'm so bisexual. Okay, 5 days a week. Yes, I'm not heterosexual either. But in the meantime, I think manic depressive sounds just a little bit more subtly dramatic. Bipolar just seems like, I don't like the word pole as a middle syllable. Just personally,
something against the Polish people.
I know, of course, but I'm like, saw half of a shotgun and half like bilaterally because I'm half Polish. Beyond Hemingway.
Beyond Hemingway.
So,
I get it. I get it. You're bisexual. Okay,
yep,
bisexual. Okay, you know, nothing wrong with that. At all.
Ventral, dorsal, get me. I'm omnicoidal. In the meantime, that song was about. I was just realizing how like another family member died. My brother had taken his life. He died. And I was 21. And then I was going looking through my side of my dad's family. They were in vaudeville. My dad's alive still, thank God. He's 91. He was the only one of the seven kids that wouldn't sing during the Depression for the, you know, get those giant chunks of Irish people in the middle of Uniontown. And then he became a Golden Gloves prize fighter. But the rest of the family tree, you know, was kind of, well marked with bottles and nooses. And excuses. And I was just thinking, you know, this is a lot of the shit that was not spoken about exactly or vague or whatever you want to call it is, you know, the DSM is practically screaming, here's the Feeney, Acton, and McKinley family. You know, self-medication, we just didn't have a name for this because, dementia praecox just sounds juicy anyway, and you could go get locked up if you were a girl wearing pants, I think, back then. So we played poker and drank and wrote. And I guess my grandfather, on my father's side, could play any instrument. Anyway, it's just, I only met one person who can do that, my friend Phoebe's husband, Ryan. He fixed my accordion when he was in the
group. Oh, accordion. See, my mom can play the accordion. And that's,
really?
You know, that's not a typical instrument. I mean,
I really hope it doesn't become trendy because people are,
I don't,
you know,
think it's
going to
become trendy.
I mean, well, you know, it's one, what is it? The butterfly effect. A bird farts over a ukulele somewhere in like Houston. And the next thing you know, Amanda Palmer knows how to rock one in public. And people think, you know, it must have been the thing that text.
My friend
gave me a ukulele, and then, like, now it's, you know, accordions and ukuleles that are actually, they don't even give them the hipster scorn of, is that ironic, sort of? It's actually fun, if you work right. I love accordion. I'm mostly Polack. How could I ask?
Yeah, well, you know.
If you're truly from the fae people of, you know, of Ireland, the little people, the wee folk, that every time you hear bagpipes, you will not be able to prevent yourself from getting goosebumps. So I guess I'm half Kielbasa and half Spud, because, I mean, I tried to play the bagpipes. I felt like
the bagpipes, wow, okay.
Yeah,
that's even more,
that's
like an accordion while, you know, that's like having an accordion while blowing at the same time.
Totally, it's an apocalypse. I'll have the apocalypse in the unagi. It is an octopus. S&M toy. When you're trying to make music come out of it, you suddenly just think, you know, ring out the cephalopod, and it becomes dark and funny, and you get asthma for the rest of your life, or you say that so no one will ever make you do it again.
Right. We're going to bring up our next guest here in just a few moments.
Great.
So I got to ask, what's up next for you? Do you plan on doing any live performances anytime soon in the, you know, Cleveland, Ohio area or anywhere else? What are your plans?
Excrement laughter. I don't know. I do have a plan with, I'm going to be going to Philadelphia to record with two friends of mine I keep picturing a sort of, I don't know, not quite Benny Goodman-ish, but, you know, the old days orchestras with the band boxes, and that's how Frankie said he wants it, and he's right, and it will be the Moist Powellettes. So he plays guitar, and Jason is going to do some sort of, I don't know what he's going to do. I picture you doing some sort of strange Brian Eno version of swing music.
Swing music? Really? Okay.
But not swing music. I just don't know how to explain without creeping someone out by drawing a bandstand in a toilet. Anyway, so how about that other guest? I was trying to get to upload this song off of that I've just found my friend Jan to have. It'll be a problem. It's called, called False Time, and it's just all about, like, the impermanence of recording. As soon as you die, you can, like, not embarrass yourself again. So everything is grubby or weird becomes profound and treasured. It's kind of...
Can I ask you... what it's like to perform live, like, be it, you know, spoken word, poetry, or, you know, music. I mean, what's that like for you?
Except for Russell's little trick, I've been to friends, like, poetry slam things, but I'm really a lot more comfortable just talking to strangers in public and letting them look, you know, either look at me either nicely or uncomfortably in mass.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually kind of shy. I mean, when it comes to, I, you know, if I'm doing a gig, I'll just have a beer after I'm done. And you know, I'm pretty much, I'm not a very memorable person physically, unless, you know, I put a rooster up my head or something. Anyway, but I love playing live. I love Chicago, and I love Philadelphia because they've been very receptive to me.
Uh-huh.
I love Cleveland because you kind of sort of have to, you know, you just can't help it. It's in your bones. It's almost like a fetish, but a sad one.
Sad fetish. Cleveland's a sad fetish. You've heard it live here.
Yeah. Frank, who's going to be doing the Moist Omelettes, said, Cleveland, I'm so glad I moved out of that crap hole. Cleveland is what people in Twin Peaks watch on TV.
Sweet.
So, yeah, next month.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, is it this month yet? Well, I mean, you know, I guess it is now this month. Woohoo. We're a minute into the month. You can please have your other guests pray for me because I pray for everybody, but no one ever believes that.
All right. Well, hey, we are going to bring up our next guest here, Brother Tim.
I'm playing Chicago in October.
Chicago in October?
Yes.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. We're gonna bring up our next guest here. You're welcome to, you know, hang out with us and ask him some questions if you want. He's the author of Darkness into Light, which is, you know, one of the things he's going to really be talking about in his new book. And, plus, you know,
I actually looked at it. I downloaded it after seeing. I wanted to see who their guest was going to be, and I was intrigued by the little bits of yesterday, so I read it.
Yeah, he's been a bodyguard
really
for 50 Cent and many other celebrities, and we're going to bring him on here, but, you know, we're going to take a little quick Puff the Magic Dragon interlude here, and we're going to bring up Brother Tim, all right? All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Puff the Magic Dragon, because, you know, sometimes we just need to take a break and get, you know, we got to puff it. Here we go.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. His head was bent magic dragon lived by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Hop the magic dragon lived by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
All right, yeah. Yeah, pup that magic dragon, indeed. So, hey, we're going to bring up our next featured guest here, Brother Tim. And, man, oh, man, I'm sure he has some really cool, mega cool stories to tell us, you know, and everything, and to share with us. And, you know, more than anything, you know, I want to hear all about his book, Darkness into Light. So we're going to bring on Brother Tim here, and you know, we're going to pick his brain here. Okay, hey, Brother Tim.
Brother Tim,
yes,
you there?
Yes, right here. How you doing tonight?
Hey, man. Welcome.
Welcome.
appreciate it.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Freezing. I'm up in the Northeast. It is cold. I caught a cold, and I do not like it up here. It's just
wait. Where exactly are you right now? Northeast?
I'm in Connecticut right now.
Oh, Connecticut. Ooh, that's even worse than Ohio.
Yeah.
That's where I'm.
Oh, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for some people. It's definitely not for me. Definitely not for me.
All right. And you got sickness here? You got sickness going on, too, on top of it?
Yeah. Nothing major. Just a little cough here and there, a little congestion.
Yeah, oh, that sucks, man.
Sure.
Well, hey, welcome, man, welcome. And, man,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have so much going on, buddy. You know, I mean, wow. You know, just with this new book and everything, and everything you have experienced, you know, being a bodyguard for all these celebrities and stuff, and, you know, and then having that, you know, life and death experience. So, where should we start? now, honestly, I mean, I think we should start with, okay. All right. We know you got your book, Darkness into Light.
Right.
And everything,
Nomad, okay. Darkness into Light.
Yeah, Nomad, Darkness into Light. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Darkness into Light is the subtitle, and
right.
You know, even before that, being a wow. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and being, you know, for many years, being, you know, a bodyguard for all these celebrities and everything. Okay, let's start with that. I mean, how did that even come about, first of all?
I got started in that career, it's actually a quick story. I was 17 years old in high school. I was a senior in high school playing football. I was 6'1", 310 pounds. I had a full beard, and I was bouncing at a local nightclub.
Ooh, bouncing,
in Connecticut.
Huh?
Yeah, here in Connecticut, actually. And this company came through, and there was a bunch of big guys, and they hired me right on the spot. They didn't know I was only 17 years old. I wasn't, you know, the size of a 17-year-old. And I was an athlete, playing football, very strong, aggressive. I'd been in martial arts since I was a kid, so, you know, I knew how to handle myself. They hired me on a Friday night. Sunday night, I was bouncing at a club called The Tunnel in Manhattan on Sunday nights, and that place fit roughly about 3,000 people, and it was packed. I don't know if you've ever heard of a tunnel, or you can look that up. Back in the day, that club was a disaster.
The tunnel, huh? No.
Tunnel.
That's fascinating. Explain.
Elaborate. It was in Manhattan on 27th and 12th Avenue, right across from Chelsea Piers, and everybody was in there. Everybody. Athletes, entertainers, models. I mean,
wow.
You know,
okay.
It was just a mecca. It was a melting pot. Everybody would go, and you know, that was my first experience, you know, in a big place. Then the gentleman that had hired me to be the bouncer actually became the head of security. His name is Suge. He became the head of security for Loud Records, which was owned by Steve Rifkin back in the day. And I worked for Exhibit, Big Pun, Fat Joe, Wu-Tang Clan, Mobb Deep. The list just kept going on and on now.
Uh-huh.
I'm 17 years old, making, you know, $500 a day.
Whoa. Holy crap.
Yeah,
that's right. Not normal. I mean, how in the heck does one at that age, you know, stumble into that? I mean, that's, wow, just because of your size and everything? I mean, what?
It was my size, my aggressiveness, and,
uh-huh.
you know, it's where God put me. I didn't realize it, but he put me in that position because he had a story to write. He had to formulate my life so I can be an example for other people.
Right. Wow.
That's
okay.
The only way I can describe what I've
right.
gone through. I've been shot. I've been, you know, in multiple shootings, and I was actually in a limousine in another country, and it got shot 200 times, over 200 times, and walked out of it. I threw the client on the floor. I jumped on his back, and something jumped on me, and over 200 rounds went through that car, the back of that limousine, and we didn't get a piece of glass on us, nothing. We walked out of there completely unscathed. So I definitely knew at that point there was a – actually, I've known before that, but I knew there was a higher power watching over me and guiding me to do something different, something great. So, but that money, it was real addictive, real addictive. You live like a rock star. You live like the entertainers.
Right, right.
First class flights.
Yeah, I mean,
what they eat. You know.
Right. You were right there. I mean, you were right there. I mean, just as you described, you were right there, integrated with all these like mega stars and everything at a very, very young age. Of course, when you're that, you know, that young, as you described, you know, it's so easy to get influenced and everything by all the money and the fame and the fortune, et cetera, and et cetera. And you know, I mean, what was that like? I mean, as far as like, you know, being, you know, in that at such a young age, I mean, obviously that had something to do, you know, with you mentally. I mean, how did that, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
How did that affect me growing up, you mean? Like, how did transform me? I became an adult real quick.
Real quick, I mean,
real quick.
Yeah, no
real
doubt.
Quick, you know, making that kind of money, being around those people, I became, my attitude, I was a jerk. I got to be straight up. I really didn't speak to people. I didn't like people. Everybody wanted something because they knew I worked for these people. So it was always, you know, friends became a problem because they always, hey, can we come to the show, you know. Can you give this CD to so-and-so? I'm trying to become a rapper. And, you know, at first it was, just call his manager or something. Then it was, just give it to him. You're right next to him. And, you know, it just became annoying. So I just clammed up, really didn't talk to too many people for a long time. But, you know, you're right in the limelight with these people. You're doing the award shows. You're sitting right next to them. You're in their house, you know, their mansions, and you got your own little room. To keep them safe, you know, you're spending holidays with these people, and you become part of their lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. So it's, you almost feel like family, I mean, to a certain degree.
To a certain extent, yeah. You got free clothes, free sneakers, free travel, free food.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they're on a private jet, you're sitting right next to them. So you take on a persona of you're actually somebody famous. Which is far from the truth. You know, I learned that the hard way, but, you know, for a few years, you feel yourself kind of on the upper echelon of things.
Right.
That,
okay,
yeah,
well...
No.
That's cool that you say that. You mentioned you feel like, you know, that becomes part of your persona, and you feel like you are, you know, at that level and all that. And, you know, from there, you know, you mentioned... you know, you got shot and you had some life-changing experience, right? And, you know, I mean, the seed was planted, you know, you being, you know, you're protecting people. You're a bodyguard and you're for all these, like, famous people and all that, you know. But then at some point something happened, something drastic happened to you that kind of changed you, right? I mean, mentally and everything.
Actually, a few drastic things. I want to go back.
Oh, okay.
You just brought up something very, you know, important. You said
uh-huh.
a seed was planted. When I
right.
was a little kid,
uh-huh.
my father was in a motorcycle club. He was in an MC. You know, I grew
uh-huh.
up going to the clubhouse, being around the guys and all that. And at the age of four, my dad put me on two wheels. I had a little dirt bike. And then, you know, I've been on two wheels ever since. But my dad was a rough, tough guy, two tours in Vietnam, Special Forces. You know, he was a man's man. He, for me to watch him drop to his knees, give his life to Christ and cry like a newborn baby, he did it right in front of me. Now, I've seen my father beat people's heads in.
Whoa.
I've seen him,
okay.
you know, yeah, he was no joke.
Right.
He had the training to do it. He, you know, Special Forces, Vietnam.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
That was no joke. Two tours. He got, no, you know, all kinds of accommodations and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When he passed away, he had a full military burial, and people were coming out and talking that I've never seen before. And they were saying things that they were in, you know, in with my dad and things. So he was a real deal. But what he did, he planted a seed of the Lord in me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching him drop to his knees. I remember my dad going through brain surgery and dying, and then coming back with a miraculous story. And the story didn't change for 18 years. He never deviated from the original story. I mean, word for word. So that you can't keep alive for 18 years. And just the details about it were amazing. But, you know, he planted that seed of Christ in me when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, knucklehead. You know, I was, you know, always getting in trouble. You know, I was always fighting, just doing stupid things and didn't know why. But that was part of my story to get to where I am today. Even, you know, kids that I went to school with in third, fourth grade. Matter of fact, there was a gentleman who I'm still friends with. His name is Frank. He and I remember the first day he came to our school. He transferred from a different school to our school in third grade, and I was his shadow buddy, you know, showing where the library is, lunchroom, and, you know, for a couple of days he just kind of stayed with me and got acquainted with the school, and he sat right next to me. Well, we went through elementary school together, middle school together, high school together. We ended up playing football together. And ironically, what you brought up about the 50 Cent case, I was arrested for that, and I was
uh-huh.
facing 20 years imprisonment. My Ooh. Attorney
mm-hmm.
happened to be that kid from third grade who sat next to me.
No,
no
way.
Joke.
Are you...
Not
wow.
kidding.
See, that, wow, that's just like, kind of, I don't know. See, you
yeah.
know, and you know, you talk about your you know, your faith and believe in God and all that stuff like that. You know, I have to be honest. I'm kind of skeptical. I'm kind of like an atheist myself. But there's still a part of me, you know, especially since my dad passed away, where I want to believe. Yet, you know, and I'm also kind of like I believe in, you know, fate. Like everything happens for a reason. And what you just mentioned, that almost seems like fate to me. It's like, wow. It's like full circle, you know?
Full circle.
Yeah.
Complete full circle because I actually spoke to him last week, Frank.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're good friends. But
uh-huh.
it was a business transaction, and, you know, I paid him for his time and everything. But
right.
That case made history.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, facing that much time and going through what I went through.
Right.
And ironically, it happened in New York. And
uh-huh.
he's a Connecticut attorney. it just so happens he went to law school in New York, took the bar as kind of a joke and passed it, but he didn't practice in New York. And when I, you know, the way we bumped into each other was 3 days before I got arrested. I was at the gym. I was heavily into bodybuilding and powerlifting. And he was walking out of the gym, and I was walking in. And we kind of looked at each other like, oh, you know, and started talking. He gives me his business card. That happened 3 days before that arrest. When I got arrested, I still had his business card in my wallet. And I called him. Had no clue he was licensed to practice in New York. And he handled the case. And now when I say case dismissed, no probation, no nothing, no nolly, just go home, you're free man. And I said, oh, my God. But you know what? After all that, I still didn't pay attention to what, you know, God was trying to get my attention. And I ended up going through some health issues and died on an operating table. And, you know, a lot of people get that, you know, they go into the afterlife, they get the white light. I didn't get that.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, what happened? Yeah, what was it like? I mean, explain. I have never talked to anybody. I have never talked to anyone ever in person like this, you know, or live, that has had, you know, and, you know, kind of after-death experience like this. Yeah, I mean, was it like? What happened? Or do you have any recollection? You just mentioned it. No light at the end of the tunnel crap.
I didn't see that. I just remember a question. And the question was, how many made it because of you? And I remember, you know, days later waking up in the hospital. It was supposed to be an outpatient procedure. I was supposed to go home that day. But there were complications, and I remember the doctor coming into my room, you know, days later. I had a full beard, you know, my hair's growing. And I said, what is going on? Where am I? You know, I was a little discombobulated, if you will.
Right.
And the doctor told me what happened. He said, you know, we had some complications. He said, we have up to 3 minutes. We have the technology up to 3 minutes to resuscitate you. At the three-minute mark, your oxygen in your brain and your organs is so depleted, they basically shut down from top down. Your brain goes, your lungs, your heart, everything just kind of stops after the three-minute mark. And I'm looking at this guy going, okay, you know, you're telling me I didn't, you know, I flatlined. He basically said you flatlined. And I said, how long? He said 4 minutes and 37 seconds. And he said, I'm standing in front of you telling you anything after 3 minutes is a resurrection because we unhooked the probes and we were done with you. And the nurse, you know, she came in and talked to me, one of the nurses who was in the procedure room. And she said, I saw you were not breathing. You were gone. She said, I saw your chest cavity expand probably three times bigger than normal, and then you started breathing on your own. She said, that was God putting breath back in your body. You have something to do. And at that point, I said, God's got my attention. I'm paying attention. Things are definitely going to be different.
Yeah, I have never experienced anything quite like that. And, you know, it probably would change my mind about a lot of things too, man. I mean, that's wow. That's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, you said something too that I want to touch on.
And
I didn't forget your question. But, you know, I want to talk to you for a minute as the host.
Uh-huh.
You brought up kind of an atheist, right?
Yes. But there's a part of me that wants to believe because, you know, it's been killing me since my dad passed away. And, you know, I have moments. I shit you not, okay? Mm-hmm. I have moments where, you know, I feel like he's here with me and he's touching me and tapping me and I have these weird experiences, you know, and I can't explain.
It's not weird.
Okay,
not
all
weird
right. You know, it's like, so, you know, I'm like, because he was an atheist too, and he was all like, you know, and my mom is a Catholic, so, you know, I was brought up in this very strange dynamic, you know, an atheist slash Catholic upbringing, you know, like, holy crap. But,
yeah. They clashed. They clashed.
Exactly.
Drastically. But, you know, the arena in which I do ministry,
uh-huh.
It's a motorcycle ministry. I'm the founder of a motorcycle ministry.
Right, yeah, that's what we need to talk about. God Soldiers, right?
Yep. God Soldiers.
Here we go. Yeah, let's talk
ministry about
that.
The website is called godssoldiers.org. You can check us out. Now, a lot of people think, oh, we just go to the Christian-y events, and that's furthest from the truth. We do the major motorcycle rallies. I'll be down at Daytona Bike Week in a couple of weeks. Actually, next week it starts Friday. We'll be down there for a week linking up with some other Christian biker groups. But for the most part, we're in, you know, in with the motorcycle community. And there's protocols that you have to follow. We've done all our protocols, and we still follow the protocols. And it's about love and respect. And you better show it. And, you know, it's not given. Respect is earned. And we've been in this game for a long time, and it's that don't believe in Jesus all recognize him in some way, shape, or form, and don't even realize it.
Right. Well, correct. And allow me to interject, if you don't mind. I believe Jesus Christ existed. I believe he was a real man. I mean, I have no doubt about that. I mean, that just, I think, is a historical fact. Absolutely. I really do. You know, it's just, there's that other, you know, skeptical part of me that, you know, questions, you know, an afterlife or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, that's,
and I want to believe. I mean, ever since my dad passed away, I want to believe there's an afterlife. And I've had some weird, you know, weird things happen. But
when did your dad pass away? Let me ask you that.
2011.
Okay. My dad passed away in 2000. And he died right in front of me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was standing probably 2 inches away from him when he died. And he said goodbye to me and my mother.
Wow.
And died. He just went. Right in front of us at my daughter's birthday party. He was happy. His family was around him. He kissed and hugged everybody. And my dad was not an emotional person whatsoever.
Right.
So it was kind of odd that he did that. And then he went and laid down. And my mom called me. I went in her room. And she was kind of holding his head up, and she was like, he's talking crazy. And I said, what's going on, Dad? And he looked at me and said goodbye. And he died in my mother's arms.
Wow.
Just like that.
Wow.
And I said, he made it. He definitely made it. Now, your experience of your dad, saying he was an atheist, he died, you know, 2011. There's been people that are on their deathbed. I'll give you an example. My pastor, one of the pastors at my church, he's a retired police officer. He went to a call where a man was shot in his chest multiple times. He was sitting in the car. So they ended up getting to the man sitting in the car, and he came through the driver's side. The man was sitting in the passenger seat, and he said he looked at his chest, and every time the man took a breath, blood spurted out of his lungs. He said, look here, buddy, you're not going to make it. He said, you're not going to make it. He said, and the guy couldn't talk.
Right.
He was spitting blood and spurting blood out of his chest. And he grabbed his hand and said, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And the guy nodded his head. On the second nod on the way down, he died. Complete, gone.
Yeah.
He accepted Christ at the last possible second, the last opportunity. Mm-hmm. What if another cop showed up? And who wasn't a Christian, wasn't a pastor, that man may have not have, probably wouldn't have made it. You know, you don't know what happened with your dad at the last possible second, his last breath.
Right.
You have no idea what occurred, the conversation between him and God.
Right.
Because I've worked for a lot of rich people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of people die. And I've always spoke to people about this. And I said, when you're on your deathbed, are you going to ask to see your checkbook one last time? Are you going to ask, you know, see the keys to your Rolls Royce one last time or your Rolex? And they say, of course not. I said, what are you going to ask? And they say, God help me. They all say the same thing.
Right.
So we live in this great big world. You know, here in the United States, we're very blessed with technology and freedom.
Correct, and, yeah.
But we're programmed. And you said it yourself. Part of you wants to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Part of you is skeptical. The
right.
skeptical part is because of society. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Okay.
Because me being on both sides of that spectrum from when I was young till now, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that too. When I was a kid, I'm in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, it was, oh, if you played a record backwards, you heard a demonic message.
Yes, I did the same thing. That's
yeah,
okay,
all,
I'm sorry, but that's
did.
Funny. I did
you
the
know,
same
I,
thing.
I think,
record players
I
played them backwards,
record,
like Kiss records.
Oh, yeah.
It was all like
Kiss,
Satan's love
the
and
I was at
shit.
My,
yeah, that's great.
I was at my neighbor's house. My neighbor had a Twisted Sister record.
Uh-huh.
And we played it backwards, and sure enough, it was talking crazy, and, you know, it freaked both of us out. We go running out of the house. But, you know, today in society, you don't have
uh-huh.
to play the record backwards. A lot of these entertainers, including ones I worked for,
uh-huh.
they straight up say they sold their soul to the devil for their fame.
Oh,
and
see
I,
that.
Okay. And I say, you know, come on now, you guys know better than that. And I serve as I serve as a spiritual guide to a lot of entertainers because they won't go to church, but they call me for, you know, questions or issues they're having. And no problem. I'm certified chaplain, so
uh-huh.
I'm an ordained minister, so I'm able to counsel. And, you know, they all say the same thing. But, Tim, I've done this, that, and the third. I've been so bad. And I say it's not too late. It's too late when you take your last breath, and it's too late when you hear the trumpets from heaven coming, which is in Revelation. It's called caught up. The word rapture is not even in the Bible. People made that up. It's referred to as caught up. I said, so until one of those two things happen, it's not too late. I say, but, you know, get yourself right now. And a lot of them do. A lot of them really do. But to hear some of these entertainers say they sold their soul to the devil for their fame, that's breeding, you know, a younger generation that's going to be completely desensitized to certain things.
Right.
Completely desensitized. I mean, you know, I'll give you a little political discussion. You know, their logo was an upside-down star, which is a
right.
pentagram, which is a satanic symbol. So looking at that picture of Hillary Clinton standing there giving this speech and seeing these stars upside down, all of them, all 50 stars were upside down, I said, that's a satanic symbol. Nobody said anything. I was in a room full of people and said, do you see that? And, you know, I paused it and I said, look at that. And they, oh, man, that's just a mistake. Somebody didn't catch that. So she has a room full of handlers. I've been in situations like that. They approve everything. They got to make sure there's no logo showing. If the bottle of water's out there, it has to have the wrapper moved or taken off because you get sued for copyright
right.
infringement.
Right,
these
right.
people don't miss stuff like that is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Adversely,
yeah.
talk about the Republicans. The Republican logo, the fat elephant,
right.
in the year 1999 was three stars on the top of the elephant pointing up. In 2000, when George Bush took office, new logo came out, brand new logo. Looks exactly the same. The stars are now upside down. They remain upside down to this day. Why is that? And how come no one's really noticed it?
Because
people aren't paying attention. We've been desensitized.
I guess not. I mean, obviously you've been paying attention. I mean.
Well, we've been desensitized. It's not a big deal.
Right, right. Agree.
Absolutely. It's,
yeah.
And who does it? You just said the word, the media.
You're right.
Do you know
right.
these veterans? You know, we do a lot of charity rides in the motorcycle community. We attend a lot of charity rides.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you just said, you know, resounds. It has such an impact because we see it on TV. It's no big deal. Oh, yeah, a soldier
right.
getting carried. He's missing an arm. He's missing a leg. When you
yeah.
meet a soldier in person who's
yeah.
missing an arm, missing a leg, he's in a wheelchair – and he's being pushed by his 4-year-old little kid.
Yes.
It kicks you. It kicks you in the stomach.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Hard.
No doubt. No doubt.
Because we see it on TV, we have the option of just turning. It's
exactly. It's like, oh, yeah, I've seen this on, like, you know, several movies or other, you know, TV shows.
It's on the same channel. Every
you know?
Channel plays the same thing. You know that.
Yeah,
the news.
Exactly. And then, you know, when you're watching the media and watching CNN or whatever, some updates of, you know, several soldiers died.
A soldier who's now injured for the rest of his life.
And his
being
family.
Pushed by his little kid.
Exactly.
In a wheelchair. He can't go play basketball with his son.
Right.
He can't go throw the football in the front yard with his son.
Exactly.
You know, he'll never do the daddy-daughter dance. You know what
right.
I mean?
That's oh, I know what exactly I what you about. Mean. Yes, I know. It's like what I'm saying is, you know, I get it. I mean, I know, you know, it not only does it impact that soldier or that person, you know, but it you know, impacts his family and, you know,
oh,
not
exactly.
only like his or her wife and kids and, you know, extended
generations
family.
Generations of his family.
Exactly, yes.
But I want to, you know, this point I have to make. You brought up
okay.
media, okay?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Most,
yes.
not all, most
uh-huh.
mainstream media outlets advertise the seven deadly sins.
Oh.
A lot of people don't know what they are, so I'm going to run through them right quick, okay? Pride,
all right, yeah.
which is vanity. We vacuum the house. He loved
mm-hmm.
his house. He was so proud of his rug. You know, his thing was twice a week he vacuumed the rug, okay? I sat
right.
on it was an old school vacuum and, you know, had a big thing on the back. It had a long hose and then the pipe. And I used to call it the elephant because it had this long pump.
The elephant.
yeah, I used to ride on the – I was a little kid, you know. I didn't
right.
know what that was. So.
I had
–
you know, my parents had the same type of vacuum cleaner too. I think we're pretty much
yeah, –
I think I might be older than you actually. But anyhow – no joke. But, yeah, I get it. Yeah, so –
You remember that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
Our parents used to do vacuuming and things. Some people still do. But
yes.
now you can go on, you know, Best Buy or some store and buy an automatic vacuum that while you're not home, it vacuums your whole house. How lazy is that? That's lazy.
Right.
I mean, I see these videos on YouTube where the cats are sitting on them getting a ride around the house.
Yeah. What are those things called? I know exactly what you're talking. Roomba or something like that, or
something
Roomba.
Like, there you go. The
Roomba
vacuum.
Or...
That's the one. That's the one. You know. But
yeah.
that technology is here to where robots are coming. We won't have to get up and get anything to drink. They'll get it out of the refrigerator for us.
Right.
You know, tell them you want a soda. The thing will get up and bring you a soda. You don't have to get up. When I was a kid, I was the remote control. I'd be outside playing. My dad would yell, come here, with a
control.
Beer. Yeah, lay on the couch with a beer. You could be on the bike down the street, and they're yelling for you. You come in the house, what? Turn down.
That's
how
great,
I grew
man.
Up. I mean, that's just reality.
Yeah, it is.
But
it is. For our
today,
generation, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, things are so different. It's
yeah,
very
they are.
Different.
Right.
Because we've been desensitized.
Yeah.
And my worry is... what's coming next that these kids are being so desensitized about evil? I said, oh, getting rid of that channel. Then you have the entertainers of
uh-huh.
all ages doing, you know, satanic rituals in their music videos, which is played on public television. And they say they sold their souls to the devil. You know, I'm going to bring up another old school thing. We had something called speakers and amplifiers in our room back in the day, and our parents can hear everything we played. Today, it's all about headphones. Parents have no clue what these kids are listening to, nomad darkness into light. You know, a person
yeah.
that's a nomad is, you know, let's break down what a nomad is.
Well, yeah, that's something I want to ask you, too, you know. Okay, yeah,
sure,
okay,
sure.
We're getting... you know, deep and philosophical here, but, you know, there's a part of me, I just want to ask, you know, about, you know, what was it like for you personally just writing and taking on and being a writer and taking on a project like this? I mean, you know, the whole writing process. What was
the
that
writing
like?
Process
yeah.
was easy. I guess it was easy because it's all
uh-huh.
true. So I didn't have to work too hard to do it.
Right.
I was just, putting it together. The hardest part, and this is the honest truth,
uh-huh.
The book originally was over 300 pages.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't have time to read this. So,
right.
Imagine, someone that's hardworking, has two jobs and three kids or something of that nature. Now, I was a bodyguard. People feel they just don't fit in. They don't fit in with society. They don't fit in with religion, which is a business, and I'll explain that in a second.
Uh-huh.
So people don't know where to go. They're just kind of standing around aimlessly. And my message is, if you don't fit in, it's because you're meant to stand out. We're all meant to do something greater. Now, everyone has different beliefs, which is their opinion.
Right.
But ultimately, we're pre-programmed with the love of God. That's why you're conflicted with some of your decisions. That's
mm-hmm.
why you admitted it. I'm not saying, I'm not telling you. You admitted part of you kind of believes.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to believe. And
right.
It's not because of your dad's sake. It's for your sake. You want to believe. That's what you're pre-programmed with from birth. Society, on the other hand, diluted it completely. So the name of the book, Nomad, Darkness into Light, you're a nomad.
Right.
And you're not even realizing it because, a nomad is a person who follows a lifelong journey or belief, but not for their own personal gain. So you're a nomad. You're going through life. And you're trying to find out, do I believe, do I not believe? But there's certain things that happen, and,
mm-hmm.
I always get the, why does God allow this to happen? Why does God allow children to be starving in other countries? I said, first of all, there's children starving right here in our own
exactly.
country.
Exactly. Yeah, I get that.
In
I get that nomadic
states.
That nomadic metaphor you're speaking about. I mean, that's, yeah.
It's the truth.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth. One thing about me, I only speak the truth. Prior to me being saved and getting into ministry, I lied to everyone I ever met, and I completely tell the truth about that.
Uh-huh.
I lied to everyone I ever met so I can gain something in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
But ironically, God took me, made my entire life public. He put me on the internet to where I can't lie about who I am and what I've done.
Right.
So he completely healed that whole lying aspect of me by confronting it face to face. So what I speak, strictly the truth. And that's what this book is. It's the truth. It's an awakening. It's an education. It's an enlightenment. We're being fooled. Religion, I brought that
right.
up. Religion's about tradition.
Right.
Religion is really
and
about
tradition. I have to tell you, we're getting, low on time here, but, mm-hmm. when you mentioned religion and everything, I truly think, religion, in a lot of ways, I don't know, because there's so many different religions, and it creates conflict and war. It really does.
Oh, yeah,
it does. It does.
Absolutely.
And, that's the one thing I think that a lot of people find kind of scary, to a degree. You got, Christians, Muslims, and whatever, and wars or whatnot, Sunnis and Shiite Muslims and all that crap,
mm-hmm.
And just killing each other just because they don't agree with
with
that. Is in your mind, is there a way that religion could somehow be more cohesive and everyone get along?
Here's my take.
Okay, all right.
And I'm glad you asked me that question. Very glad you asked me. Religion, like I said before, is business.
Uh-huh.
The word religion, I tell everyone, I am not religious. I'm faithful. I am not religious whatsoever.
Okay.
Religion
All right.
is business. There's a
right.
price tag attached to religion.
Right.
Give you an example. You know, you go to church. The Bible says you give 10% to keep the church going. Right?
Right.
If you join a gym, that's $10 a month. Right?
Right.
You go to that gym and you expect everything to be working properly based on your $10 a month. Correct?
Correct.
But if you go to a gym that's $10 a month, you work out, the machines are broken, you walk into the locker room, hit the light switch, the lights don't come on, and they say, oh, that's another $2 a month. You're going to say, what? So you go hit the shower doesn't come on. Oh, you want water? It's another $3 a month. What? Then you're walking out to the parking lot, it's pitch black. Oh, you want lights in the parking lot? It's another $2 a month. Eventually, you're going to leave. At
right.
some point, you're going to say, wait, I thought my $10 covered everything. Churches are doing this. Not all, some. You go in, you give your tithe, which keeps the church doors open and helps the community, because that's what the church is for, worship and to help the community, right?
Right.
And a hospital, I mean, a church is a hospital for the sick soul. However, some of these churches have staph infections because the staff in the churches are sick people themselves, and they're passing on that to the parishioners. So when I say religion is business, you pay your tithe, but then you got to get hit with, well, we're doing a special building fund. We need a new roof. Take it out of the tithes.
Right.
That's the same, you know, parable of going to a gym.
Right.
My $10 covers everything.
I hate to cut you short here, but we're about to run out of time.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Man, we could, you know, I think we might need you on again sometime soon. Well, you have to go now. Thank you so much. And
no problem.
Stay in touch. All right. Good night.
You got it, guys. Have a good one. Have a good night.